Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Coach Jen on the other side of Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 1st. How the heck did that happen? Episode 799. This episode is brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Actually, it's 779, but we'll forgive you.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday.
I can't believe it. I just don't believe it.
What's going to happen?
Something wonderful.
Thank God it's...
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Thank God it's...
Well, good morning, everybody. Yes, it is Friday, and thank God it's Friday. I agree with that. You know, I had a short week because I was sick at the beginning of the week, and that just meant I had to work 100 hours the last 2 days. So I'm kind of ready for it to be Friday as well. Jamie is ready, I hope. She did text me last night. She got to Galway down safely, and her new horse trailer arrived the day before she left. So she had time to pack and get out there safely to Galway down. She is scheduled to do her dressage test, I think, what, first thing this morning, like 9 o'clock. So their time out there in California. But she's looking forward to it. She said she's excited to be there, and she will talk to us all about it on Monday, about how her and Jet did and whether they ended up in the Pacific Ocean or not. and that would be very bad because the Pacific Ocean is not even close to Galway Downs. So we hope that doesn't happen.
Well, how about this? We'll find out whether or not she ended up in the drink. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Might not be
that's
salt water, but definite possibility. Although he always does very well across country. It's that dressage and stadium stuff that he has sometimes have trouble with.
Well,
so he should be fine. He should be fine. If he can get through dressage today, everything should be good. And we'll look forward to seeing some pictures. I'm sure she'll be posting them over the weekend on her Facebook page over at Jamie Jennings. Well, one of the things I wanted to do, a bit of housekeeping I wanted to get out of the way right at the top of the show because I had an email and it came to mind right away. I had an email from one of our avid listeners who said, why aren't all the new shows in the Horse Radio Network? We have several new shows out there now, Horsemanship Radio, with Debbie Laux over from Monty Roberts' side of the country over on California along the coast. And she does a show on horsemanship twice a month and is at episode number 4 or 5 now, just came out. And then also Blaze Kids Radio, a new episode of that came out this week, and Chasing a Fox, a new episode of that came out this week. All of them are now on both apps, whether you're Android or iOS, but you do have to update your apps. And I think this is where the listener was making a mistake and said, none of the new shows are on there. I keep waiting. You have to go into your app store, and you'll see in your app store on your phone, just go into the app store on your phone or your iPad or whatever, and you'll see there that there's a place in the app store to update your apps, and it'll show you in the little corner there, you have a little number 7 or 2 or 3 or whatever. That tells you how many apps need updated. You have to go in and tell it to update the apps. Now, some phones are more automated than other phones. Some of the Android phones will do this by themselves. Others do not. So I know Jennifer's iOS phone, iPhone, we had to go in and update manually. So you have to do these updates.
I think that you can change that in your settings on an iPhone, Glenn. I think each individual phone, you can tell it whether to automatically do those up, only do them when you ask.
Yeah.
Well, I did notice that iOS, the change yesterday, adding Horsemanship Radio must have hit yesterday, because there were tons of updates I noticed in our logs. So people were doing a lot of updating yesterday. So all of the new shows are now on both apps. If you don't see them, it's because you need to do the update. That's the point I wanted to make. And we are still getting tons of downloads from around the United States and around the world. And we really appreciate it. People seem to be enjoying listening on the app. So that is the best way to do it. Now we have 11 shows, Jennifer, on the app.
Sheesh. Who knew? Well, you know, five years ago we had 11 listeners. Now we have 11 shows.
I know. There you go.
One listener for each. No.
A little more than that nowadays, a little more than that. Well, today we have a fun show planned for you. It is that time of the year for the National Horse Show. The All-Tech National Horse Show is going on right now, started yesterday at the Kentucky Horse Park. We have Ariel Weissman, who is an old friend of Jennifer and I's, and program manager for the All-Tech National Horse Show. She is going to be stopping by this morning to give us an update live from the show about what's going on this year and what kind of things they have happening. If you're anywhere in the Kentucky area and can get there this weekend, they also have something that different that's going on this year called the Kentucky Gathering, which is all different kinds of stuff going on at the Kentucky Horse Park. So I'm sure she'll talk a little bit about that as well. Each year they do this show. You know, they've just moved it, what, 2 years ago, Jennifer, to the Kentucky Horse Park? 1 or 2 years ago. And each year it gets bigger and better, and they're trying to do more things with it because they have so much space out there at the Kentucky Horse Park. So this is one time where I kind of go, I wish we lived close so we could just hop on over there.
Well, that's what we did last time when we still lived up in Kentucky. I just said, see you later, Glenn. And I went over to the All-Tech Arena and spent about 4 hours watching the Metal McClay Equitation Finals. It was awesome.
Yes, you did. You just sat there all day watching the little hunters go around in circles and jump the little jumps.
Yep. Equitation is different. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Sounds the same to me.
Yes,
it looked
the subtleties are lost on you, Glenn. I know that.
I watched for about 5 minutes and went, okay, they're all doing the same thing all day long. So I just bugged out of there. But you enjoyed it, so that was good. And then later on in the show, we are going to have another holiday product highlight for you. Something we seem to be in the practical mode. Last week we had the rider's sleeves, and this week we have something that's very practical come wintertime for those of you that live in the cold climes and it's starting to go below freezing. This is definitely a product that you're going to want to take a look at for your friends and family.
Last week was for people who are warm weather in the winter. This week it's for people who have cold weather in the winter.
That's right. That is correct. So we'll be talking about that. And then we have, of course, Really Bad Ads will be coming up later in the show. Jennifer's going to be helping out with that. Wendy was off this week. She was actually on vacation in Puerto Rico. So she's been posting pictures from Puerto Rico all week, and she's not back yet. So it's just the two of us this morning filling in and keeping track of what's going on in the horse world for you. Well, let's do our daily whinnies. My daily whinny goes to a filly that was just born in October, just a couple of a week or two ago, and is down here in Florida. And no, it's not a relative of Zenyatta's. It probably will not be doing any racing anytime soon if the owners can do anything about it. But it is very rare, and that is it was a zebra that was one of 50 Hartman Mountain zebras in the United States, born at Disney World's Animal Kingdom Lodge. And they have an active breeding program for these Hartman Mountain zebras. By the way, the Hartman Mountain zebra is native. There's only 8,300 mature animals left, and they're native to Namibia, and the numbers are declining because, of course, hunting and loss of habitat and all of that. Most of them live outside of national parks and on private lands and ranches. They are a subspecies of the mountain zebra and range from 10 to 14 hands in height. And what makes them unusual is they're the only equine with a dewlap. Now, do you know what a dewlap is, Jennifer?
I don't know what it does, but it's that loose, flappy bit of skin that hangs down on a cow's neck.
That is correct. Doesn't it sound like something that would be hip-hop related, a dewlap, that you would see in like rap videos? That's what it sounds like, a dewlap. It sounds like something they'd wear in a hip-hop video. Anyway, that is exactly what it is. It's that flap of skin that hangs under the chin. And they're as I said, they're the only equine with a dewlap.
So
I don't know what it does either. You'd have to look that up. I don't know. But they've been doing a good job at Disney trying to do a breeding program for these particular zebras. And this one is very, very, very cute. It's now roaming the savannah outside of the Animal Kingdom Lodge. So visitors to the Animal Kingdom Lodge, which Jennifer and I do often when we go down to Disney, we'll be able to see this foal, and it is very, very cute and not real big. It's kind of tiny. So we look forward to seeing that when we make our next trip down there to Disney. Going to have to ride over and check it out. One of our favorite restaurants is there anyway, so we can go over have dinner and check out the baby zebra.
My Daily Winnie goes out to Stuart Pittman, who is the brains behind the Retired Racehorse Training Project, whose incredible racehorse makeover just finished up last weekend. And the event was a giant success, being held at the Pimlico Racecourse. And they had 26 trainers, each of whom had a off-the-track thoroughbred who was not allowed to have had any after training after the racetrack. And they had 3 months to train the horse to do something. And then at the end, they had a 15-minute demo to do. And they did that. And they had about 80,000 people show up altogether.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yep. They had it ended up in the black. They didn't make any money, but it ended up in the black thanks to an enormous number of volunteers. They had demonstrations either by people who volunteered to demonstrate with older ex-race horses or from the trainers themselves. They had, believe it or not, a vaulting ex-racehorse. Vaulting, really? Yes. They had ones that were cattle. They had a polo team. They had some barrel racers and some fox hunters. That's obvious. A police horse, whose little police horse mask was pretty awesome. They had one lady who I'm going to try to get onto the show. This is an off-the-track thoroughbred who has been off the track for 90 days or less. I think this one a little bit less. She rode bridleless.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. she can do a training level dressage test bridleless on her OTTB in less than 3 months. So we're going to try to get her on the show. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, that's definitely somebody. Jamie's going to want to talk to her.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. She has an interesting backstory. Jessica Bowman, I think her name is. She has also participated in the Extreme Mustang makeovers.
Ah.
She's an avid eventer, and has a small training operation in Georgia, so she's gotten some experience with those. So I'm real curious to hear what she has to say to compare taking a Mustang versus an off-the-track thoroughbred, and the comparisons and the differences in that whole training process. It really looked cool. And one of my favorite parts of the entire program, I thought, was they had a little thing, thanks to Chris McCarron, called Ride Like a Jockey. And it's so key, and this was very well illustrated a little while back when I went out to a friend's house and rode some of their cattle horses that work cattle, having no experience with that. I couldn't get that horse to do much, not because he wasn't trained, but because I had no clue how to tell him to do anything. And I think so the starting point of understanding how a racehorse is trained to begin with really puts you three jumps ahead when you try to retrain your ex-racing thoroughbred. So the fact that Stuart is working very hard to help educate the potential adopter of an ex-racehorse or a potential purchaser on how they really are trained, because our perception of how a racehorse is trained, I think, might be a little bit outdated.
Now, you said he was doing something in Ocala this winter too?
Yes, I just saw a blog post from Stuart. They're going to be doing a gala fundraiser down here in Ocala in February. They don't have a date set, and they're going to be having it at one of the ginormous beautiful thoroughbred farms down here. It's a 2,600-acre farm owned by a recent enthusiast into the thoroughbred racing industry, and they're going to have a big fancy gala with a fancy dinner and all the foo-foo stuff, but they're also going to have demonstrations and tours of the drop-dead gorgeous farm that can be had for a very reasonable general admission price. So I'm very excited about that, and we will keep all of our listeners up to date when we get more information.
Very good. Well, while you're getting our first guest lined up of the day, I want to tell you about the U.S. Pony Drivers that are at the 2013 FEI Pony World Driving Championships going on right now in Europe, something we talked about quite a bit over on the Driving Radio Show. Well, they had dressage yesterday and kicked off. Well, leading off the U.S. efforts was Jennifer Matheson of Aiken, South Carolina, and she has a talented pair of ponies that led off and did very well to a score of 52-10, and they stand in sixth place in the Pair Pony Championship after the first phase. Right behind Matheson in seventh place is U.S. teammate Wendy O'Brien, also from Aiken, South Carolina. Met her while I was up there with a score of 54.14. And she is the 2012 national champion. So she is within striking distance of everybody and does very well usually on marathon day. Then we head over to the teams. Now a team is four in hands. And one of the best-looking four in hands out there in the pony world is Lisa Stroud. She has these beautiful team of white ponies that just glow when you see them from a distance. And she was the first U.S. driver in the arena during the afternoon session, and she is in third right now in the World Team Championships of medal standings for the weekend. And she will wait to see how she does over the weekend. Katie Whaley, who I've met several times, was the final U.S. competitor of the day, and she's in 11th place coming into marathon as well. So in all four entries from the United States in the World Pony Driving Championships are in the top 12. So that is something that we're very excited about. We don't always do real well at these championships, usually Germany and the Netherlands and all the ones that you expect to do well in dressage also do well in driving. So we're very excited about the prospects that we could take a medal or two in the Pony World Driving Championships. And if you've never seen pictures from the Pony World Driving Championships, it's really, really cute because they're cute ponies pulling fancy carriages. So what's better than that? I mean, you know, you can't get any better than that. Well, we have a friend of ours on the line right now. She's program manager for the All-Tech National Horse Show, and she is coming to us live. Ariel Weissman. Hi, Ariel.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.
We miss you. We miss seeing you and your horse out at the barn and hanging out together.
Yeah, I do too. I know it's getting to the time of year again where, you know, we all kind of have to start bundling up for our winter rides. So I miss seeing you guys out there.
Now, program manager, a little raise or a little, you know, promotion this year for the All-Tech National Horse Show. So you probably haven't had a whole lot of time to say hi to your horse anyway.
No, I've been going out there to check on him, and I've got a couple girls that are helping me get him ridden, but I've been spending a lot of time getting ready for the All-Tech National Horse Show.
Well, tell us about the All-Tech National this year. What's different? What's new? You know, what are you enjoying so far?
Well, we've got a lot that's new this year, actually. The biggest thing is we've added this event called the Kentucky Gathering, and we're really trying to celebrate everything that Kentucky has to offer, horses, heritage, and hops. And so we've invited craft brewing and distilling companies and local food vendors to come and showcase what they have to offer in our Savor Kentucky area. We've also got members of the Bourbon Trail, nine local craft brews. We've got kids' educational area outside with the U.S. Pony Club, pony rides, bouncy castles, all sorts of fun things for the whole family to come out and enjoy. And, of course, our world-class equestrian competition that's in the ring. And we last night had our first first open jumper competition, and we also had a free trick-or-treat, which ended up being a huge, overwhelming success. It was some bad weather outside, so we got a lot of people from all over Lexington coming here. So we had some costume characters, and it was really great to see Lexington come out and trick-or-treat with us.
Were you giving the kids hops and bourbon? Or
no,
did
we weren't.
You have something? Oh.
No, not this, not quite yet, no. They're not quite old enough. But we did have candy available at all of our vendors on the concourse, and our vendors were great. They really stepped up and interacted great with the kids and, you know, handed out candy and took lots of photos. So that was really, really fun. And tonight we have our first ever Bar Night in the Bluegrass, which is sponsored by a new equestrian facility here called Group C. And we are inviting all the local barns to sign up and register to win some great prizes and come out and show their spirit and their support. So we're really excited to see people come out tonight for that during our Life Force Elite Puissance competition.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's Puissance tonight, which is always, was always one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite events to watch, too. It's not something you get to see all the time. And last year they got up to over 7'2". And with the footing in this arena and the quality of horses we have here, everyone's saying that we have talk of breaking the world record for the highest jump in an indoor.
What is it? Do you know what the world record is?
I believe it's 7'4". I have to double check, but I'm pretty sure it's 7'4".
That's just freaking big, Ariel.
That's huge. It's huge. Yeah, it's scary.
Well, this is very exciting that it's taken off the way it has. Now, there was talk, and I don't know, I didn't see in any of the press releases this year, there was talk about one of the big things that used to be at the National Horse Show when it was in New York is they used to have the coaches come in, and those are the big carriages that pulled by, you know, 4 or 6 horses, and they had a coaching class. Are they doing that this year?
We do not have a coaching class, but we do have American Saddlebred classes, which includes stud carriage driving. We have the fine harness classes, and we've got some beautiful, beautiful saddlebred horses that are performing every day. We've got a few tonight before the Puissance, as well as tomorrow during the day before the Altec Grand Prix. And they've been really well received so far. Everyone likes to hoot and holler at them. And we, on Wednesday night, for the first time, did a rider swap. We had some hunter jumper riders ride some saddlebred horses and some saddlebred horse riders get on some hunters and do a little course. So that was really fun. It was good. It was really good. Everyone actually rode really well, and it was interesting to see the pair that won, because I don't know as much about saddlebreds as I do about hunter jumpers, so I was not sure what I was looking for. So it was really interesting to see both sides of it.
So my question, Ariel, is the folks who participated in this switcheroo, because that's a real switch, very, very different disciplines. Did you throw everybody's name in a hat and pull them out? Did they volunteer? How did you get these folks
to participate? No, we asked for volunteers, and then we asked a couple people who we thought would be good. On the hunter jumper side, we had McLean Ward, Laura Crouch, and Jennifer Alfano and Hunt Tosh ride saddlebred horses. And so
McLean
then,
Ward on a high-stepping gated saddlebred?
Yeah, you got it. And I tell you, his equitation was fantastic. But Jennifer Alfano took home the blue with on that division.
That's funny.
So they did really good. It was really cool to see them do the racking and the canters and all that.
Now, did we put the gated riders doing jumps?
Yeah, we did a small course. We had
not 7 foot
horses and 4 riders, and not quite. I think it was a 3 foot course though, so it was substantial.
Yeah, that is substantial.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, they were doing that. They were getting all their lead changes and perfect lines, and they did a really good job.
Well, terrific. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
now,
it was great. I kind of got into it, and it's fun.
Now, one of Jennifer's favorites, and when we lived in Kentucky, she went there and spent time. We were just talking about it a couple minutes ago at the Metal McClay. So tell us about this year's.
The McClay Final Run Sunday. We've got the riders here already. They're actually doing their order of go draw tonight, so they're all ready for that. And there's a warm-up early tomorrow morning. And this is really a showcase of the best junior riders in the country. And what's really unique about this competition is they have to qualify. They work all year to qualify for this. So it's not like anyone can just register and try for the McClays. You have to do numerous qualifying competitions and make it through a few rounds of eliminations before you can get here. So we've got the top 200 young riders across the country, lots of which go on to be professionals. This is for teenagers and young adults that really, really want to make riding a career and are real serious about it and have spent a lot of time preparing. So it's actually one of our most viewed events online, where you can watch the horse show at alltechnationalhorseshow.com. It's one of the most viewed events. So we're excited to watch it.
You mentioned that they practice in the morning. Do you know what time the arena opens in the morning for schooling?
Well, the McClay School is tomorrow at 7 a.m., and that's when they'll be officially in the ring. And that goes, I believe, until about 10 or so, and then the regular day classes start.
So at the All-Tech show, because each facility runs the show program a little bit different depending upon how the facilities are set up,
mm-hmm.
And the All-Tech Arena is pretty high-tech by horse show venue standards.
Yes.
Is the main arena open for schooling at all, or are they only allowed in there during classes?
It is open for schooling at very limited hours. So in the beginning of the week, we had Monday, there was an open schooling, and then Tuesday night after the classes ended, there was open schooling. So they kind of try to do it. They try to organize it a little bit by division to keep it mm-hmm. in order, but also to give everyone a chance to get in and see the ring. Our ring this year is absolutely beautiful. The guys did an amazing job setting it up. We've got all of our sponsor banners look stunning, and we've got the beautiful Kentucky Horse Park scenic backdrop and our brand new signage all over the place. So it looks really nice with the Taylor Harris Club on one side, and so it'd be especially great with the seats filled tonight on the other side. And the schooling will continue to be available probably after the events. People can come in late night or very, very early in the morning, depending on, you know, your show mm-hmm. schedule during the week.
Mm-hmm. These shows are pretty grueling in that respect, because if you need to and everybody really, except for the horses, have been doing the indoor circuit for some time. People want to be able to get their horse into that main arena and let them get comfortable with the atmosphere.
Yeah.
You keep some seriously long hours.
Yes, absolutely. And that's typical. As all horse people know, you know, horse showing is not an easy endeavor. It requires a lot of time and energy. And luckily, we've got other places where horses can be worked at the horse park. So we're lucky to have a facility that has so many options so that people can get their horses worked properly and, you know, at their convenience, and then come into the main arena to see that, you know, in the off hours when they can.
Yeah.
Well, a couple more things before we let you go here. One is, I assume they're shopping.
Yes, of course. We've got a whole concourse full of boutique vendors. We've got everything from jewelry and apparel to the Just World International people are here. We've got our Bourbon Trail display. We've got great clothing. We've got Hadfield, tack, and everything like that. The Kentucky Horse Park Center has some of their merchandise. Lots and lots to offer. And even if you're not a horse person, there's some beautiful gifts available. So we're coming up on the holidays. It's a really good opportunity to see some cool things.
I got to ask you, though, Ariel. We know you personally. So we
uh-huh.
know one that... We know one that you've been known in the past to partake in alcoholic beverages, and you like to shop.
Wait a second.
So how are you getting through this weekend?
Well, I drink a lot of water, actually, is what I drink a lot of, because I am running around like crazy. So I'm going all over the concourse and up and down the stairs, so I need to stay hydrated. But I will say that I enjoy a Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale, and Town Branch Bourbon on the Rocks was my drink of choice after I got off work last night.
We still have some, actually. We have a bottle of Town Branch signed by Dr. Lyons during the World Equestrian Games.
Oh, we better hold on to that one.
I know. We haven't opened it yet. I'm afraid to open it.
Well, I'm going to have to bring you another bottle then the next time I see you guys.
You're definitely going to have to, because you can't drink this one. I mean, it's a collector's item now. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's terrific. I'm glad that you're having so much fun. I'm glad that you're the program manager now. I can't think of anybody better, by the way. So,
thank you so much.
I do want to, for our listeners that go back a long ways with us, and there's a lot of them that do, is we wanted to just mention Susanna Elliott, who are regular listeners to the 2010 radio show. We'll
mm-hmm.
remember Susanna because she joined us about 100 times in the 2 years in the lead-up to the World Equestrian Games. How is our friend Susanna doing?
She is fantastic. She has her second child on the way, so we're thrilled for that, for her. And she has been absolutely wonderful with our PR team during this horse show and helping get things organized and really getting the word out. I think, you know, they did such a good job getting the word out about our trick-or-treat last night that we had most of Lexington here. So it was awesome.
And the Kentucky Horse Park survived the storms. You all survived?
Oh, yeah, they did. There's a few power outs down on Newtown Pike, but in the horse park at the Altec Arena, we're rocking and rolling this morning. The live stream is up for anyone who's interested to watch online, and we've got
horses in
the ring as we speak.
And they do that, AltecNationalHorseShow.com to watch live?
AltecNationalHorseShow.com, yep. There's a link right on the homepage to watch it online.
Very good. Thank you, Ariel. It's been so good to talk to you again.
Yes, you too. Hope to see you guys again soon.
All right. See you, Ariel.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
She's so much fun. And, you know, she just graduated. I think she graduated college not too many years ago.
Yeah.
And what a sharp cookie she is. But we always knew that she was going to do something big in her life. She got a job at Altec, and now she's got some serious responsibility over there, and she should have. She's a wonderful girl. And Susanna, who she was talking about there, did her job for Altec for the World Equestrian Games and was our contact during the 2010 radio show. And I cannot say enough good things about what Altec did to help us in our coverage of the World Equestrian Games and how many good friends we made over at Altec and what they did for us when we did a fundraiser over there. And they just, every time we asked, they came through, and we asked them again today to be on. While she's very busy, they still came through, and we appreciate everybody at Altec for helping us out every time we ask as well.
Yay. Okay, I posted a link to the live stream so all of our listeners can enjoy watching. It's great because you can put the live stream in a small window off to the side while you're working.
Oh, good. Cool.
See? And then you can just, like, and when your boss walks past, you can just click the button really quick and hide the window. When he's gone,
there
he's
you
out
go.
Of the room, bring it back up. And you can turn the sound down so nobody knows.
What's in there now? I know you looked.
I can't stream it because I'm on the air, and if I'm on the air and I stream something, you disappear, remember?
That's right.
You do that on purpose.
It breaks things. It breaks things when that happens. Well, that's cool that they had so many people come out last night, and they did cancel trick-or-treating, I know, in most of Kentucky until tonight because of the bad storms that they had. So that's really neat that they came out.
They even have taped stuff on here. You can watch last night's stuff. You don't even have to watch it live.
One of the things they said that a lot of people doubted, and I got to admit I doubted a little bit, was that because of the World Equestrian Games that Lexington would have a legacy, that the horse park, all those, you know, very expensive buildings that they built, would be used, and they would start bringing in new horse shows and doing new things at the Kentucky Horse Park, and that the amount of usage and that some of the farms around there would be bought up by hunter jumpers and eventers, and as the racing farms were going out, more and more of that would happen, and all of that has happened. So we can honestly say that that's a success story for Lexington.
Yep.
This is, I like living in Florida. There are a few times I miss living in Lexington, and one of those few times is every time we want to just hop down to the Kentucky Horse Park to watch something for fun.
That's one of the times we
miss it. That was one of the advantages of living 4 miles from it. Well, let's take a break for Kentucky Performance Products, and we'll be back right after that with more good stuff for you here on Horses in the Morning.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Have you heard of a yeast called Saccharomyces boulardii? It's a type of probiotic that benefits your horse's digestive tract. Often referred to as S. boulardii, it works in several different ways. One unique property of S. boulardii is that it supports the stimulation of the enzymes found in the intestinal lining. These enzymes help your horse digest starches and sugars in the small intestine. When the sugars and starches are more completely digested, fewer of them escape into the hindgut where they can ferment and cause imbalances that may lead to colic, diarrhea, and laminitis. Saccharomyces boulardii is found in Nalox Advanced, made by Kentucky Performance Products. Nalox Advanced contains a blend of yeast, fermentation solubles, and stomach buffers. These ingredients work together to maintain your horse's digestive tract in peak condition. Nalox Advanced is recommended for horses of all ages and stages and is fed on a daily basis.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
Well, we're back here at Horses in the Morning. I am here with Coach Jen. Jamie is off at her horse show in California for the weekend. We'll hear all about that on Monday. And last Friday, we started something that we want to run through the holiday season, and that's kind of a highlight of different products that would make a good holiday gift. We're kind of on a trend right now for things that are practical. And we had an opportunity when we were at the American Equestrian Trade Association several months ago to talk to the people from Pyrit Hoses. And we kind of think this would make a very good gift for those of you that live in the Northeast. This is something that we wish that we had had at our farm in Pennsylvania, and I know you wish you had had when you ran the stables up there in Massachusetts. And we had a chance to talk to the gentleman who invented all these products and spent some time with him. So let's take a listen to one of our suggestions for the holidays. Well, we have Willie back with us, who's the CEO and founder of, and I can never say the name of this company.
Pyrit Heated Hose.
Pyrit. I always wanted to make it French and make it
Pyrit,
sound, you know,
or,
you know, or something.
We get
that.
We really don't care as long as you buy the product.
Because it's spelled P-I-R-I-T.
Right.
You know? So we'll just go with Pyrit. So now, we had you on the last time we were here at the American Equestrian Trade Association. We had you on because we talked about the heated hoses.
Yes.
Today, we're going to talk about another way to keep your hoses from freezing for people like Helena who live in Rhode Island and who's always complaining about frozen hoses.
I don't always complain about frozen hoses. I only complain January
in
through February, March.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
December through March. Yeah, this is really good. I mean, honestly, to find a hose that works, that doesn't freeze, and is easy to wind up, because I'm always fighting with my hose.
Right, right.
You can never go out and water your horses in non-barn clothes.
And that winder thing that you buy at the Lowe's to wind up your hoses always breaks after about 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, it never works. It never cranks.
Well, this
so
is...
what is it?
So what is it?
Well, it's a mounted heated hose, mounted hose reel that's spring-loaded, so when you pull the hose out, you snap it and it stops. You can do your watering, you give it a tug, and it'll retract back in automatically. But what we've done with this product is it's actually a normal garden hose, 50 feet in length, but we've installed a heating element inside the reel itself. So as long as the hose is retracted back after use, it remains frost-free, and it's ready to use the next time you need it. Very simple.
So the container unit is the heating unit.
Exactly.
It plugs in, so you just need an outlet. You need electricity in
right.
your barn. And
you said it's mounted, so it's mounted to the wall.
It's
or?
Mounted
like
on a swivel mount. It'll you know, go wherever you go.
Okay.
Basically, there's a thermostatically controlled heating element inside the reel itself, so it comes on and off on a need basis. It's not constantly on. And as long as the hose is retracted back into the housing, you've got a usable hose in cold weather environments.
So let's just say you don't want to leave it plugged in, but you know that you know it's February and there's a cold snap coming.
Mm-hmm.
You can plug it in, and how long would it take to heat up to a point where it would?
You know, you could let the reel freeze. The time that it's going to take to thaw is going to be dependent on how cold it is,
mm-hmm.
how much water was left in the line, and how much ice buildup you have. But
okay.
I would say probably within 20 minutes you'd have a usable hose.
Oh,
wow. That quick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Even before it freezes, so if I know a cold snap's coming.
Right, you could plug it in.
Make sure it's plugged
yeah.
in.
But it's thermostatically controlled, so if you know, once you get into those cold weather months, if
just
you just leave it plugged
on.
In. If it's not cold enough to freeze, it's not going to come on.
Okay.
I mean, the heating element will start to activate at about 42 degrees. Once it senses the temperature dropping below 42, the heat starts to activate to make sure the hose stays above freezing.
Okay. How much hose? How much
50
hose?
50 feet.
50 feet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the reels we're offering right now are just 50 feet.
So it's good for the barn aisles and things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you know, my wife was one of my testers when we were first sampling this product, and she absolutely loved it. She could just go over and go stall to stall, fill her buckets. You're not carrying the buckets back and forth to the water spigot because the hose is frozen.
Is it a cranker to get the hose back
in? Nope, spring-loaded. You just give it a tug and it automatically...
Oh. Yeah, like your vacuum cleaner cord.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah. Exactly.
Cool,
yeah.
I like that.
Snap. It stops. So like
yeah, you can stop it at any length. You know, if you pull it out 20 feet, you can stop it.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's horse husband approved right there.
There you go.
That's hard to do.
Yeah. And we have UL, which is the U.S. safety standard, and we also have CSA, which is the Canadian standard that's applied to an outdoor heated
appliance. So it's safe for your barn.
Exactly.
I love this.
I know. It's great.
I love this. Can I tell you that last year, I carried buckets. Because my hose froze. Because, you know what? One day, I did not pay attention.
Yep.
One day,
that's
I did not
all
pay
it
attention.
Takes.
And then it froze. And I'll tell you what, because the temperature was cold, sustained cold
mm-hmm.
just enough, I
couldn't get it thawed.
Are you like us? You
yeah.
used to bring the hose in the house and let it defrost in the house and put buckets in
put
the
in
end
the
of
tub
the hose?
Or,
yeah,
yeah,
that's
you
right.
You know
yeah.
what I used to have to do? I was a working student. We used to have to unhook the hoses at the end of the day and
mm-hmm.
hang them up
yeah,
over
the
rafters.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
So they would drain. And, of course, I'm like, I'm all of 3'7".
Yeah.
yeah.
So that was fun. Every day, 6 hoses.
Yeah, we
this
hope
really
it makes your life
that.
Life easier. I mean, that's what it's about.
What's the retail on these?
These retail for $199.
That's not too bad, considering,
no.
you know, what you're getting out of it. The
yeah.
less hassle you're getting out of it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it'll save you labor.
Very labor-saving.
Yeah. Nothing puts you in a worse mood than you go out and it's already 5 degrees out. And then you go and you have to fill water buckets, which nobody wants to do when it's 5 degrees
yeah.
out.
Sloshing water.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't want to carry water buckets when it's 5 degrees out.
No.
It's a little bit icy in the aisle. This is great.
Yeah. yeah. This will pay for
it
itself in a month.
It helps your mood out.
Yeah.
Yes.
It helps your mood out? What are you saying? Why are you looking at me when you say that, Glenn?
So where can people find it?
We sell them through any number of tack shops. They're available online at our website, a number of the tack
What's
catalogs.
The website?
Website is www.piratehose.com, which is PIRITHOSE.com.
All right, very good. We'll look for it. Thanks a lot.
Great. Well, thank you for having me.
And, of course, you can find – we put links to everything that we talk about here on the show in our show notes and also over on Facebook for just search for Horses in the Morning. So that's where you can find all of the information about everything that we talk about.
I love the bumper music you're using on these.
Well, we have a little I have something planned today too because Jamie's not here, so I can be bad because you know it's my show and I own the place, so I can be bad today. So we're gonna do something today a little bit later, in a couple minutes that I wouldn't normally do if Jamie was here because she'd get all upset and then I'd have to listen to her. So this way I don't have to because she's not here, see. And I know she doesn't listen to the show when she's at horse shows, so I don't have to worry about her finding out either.
She's stressed enough at a horse show. She doesn't need to hear us.
That's right. Well, I do have some news here. We haven't covered news all week, but there's a lot of news around the horse world. One of the things I thought was extremely strange is, of course, it's that time of year for the award ceremonies and, you know, for the annual conferences for various disciplines and associations and breeds and all that stuff. Well, that is also true for the FEI. The FEI Awards Gala 2013 is going to take place next week and will be held over in Europe someplace. The important part of this was, and this is what I got out of this, there's going to be attended by some 300 guests, including representatives from 132 of the member federations of the FEI. And the host is Jonathan Edwards. And I thought, wow, I wonder what kind of horse guy Jonathan Edwards is. Jonathan Edwards isn't a horse guy at all. Jonathan Edwards is the Olympic champion in triple jump and the current world record holder. And he's going to be the master of ceremonies at the FEI Awards Gala. Now,
when I read this, Glenn, I went, Nash, Olympic champion triple jump. I went and Googled that thinking that there was some kind of obscure test event they had in Equestrian that I didn't know about.
No. It's the triple
jump.
It's the track and field triple jump. And this guy, you know, won it at some point. And now they brought him back to be the master of ceremonies. Are you telling me, FEI, that there's not one horse person in this world that's entertaining to be master of ceremonies at the FEI Gala Awards?
Apparently not.
I just blew me away. I just went, I could not believe that and it's not like they're having, you know, a well-known person do it either.
Well, in track and field triple jump, I'm sure Jonathan is a rock star.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. My guess is he's never sat on a horse in his life. Now, I could be wrong about that, but that would be my guess. So, anyway.
I think there's something else going on here, Glenn.
Well, he does work in sports broadcasting somewhere in Europe and has done, he has a dazzling career, apparently, on the track. In 2003, by the way, and now works in sports broadcasting. But still, could they hire somebody that had anything to do with horses to be the MC?
Let's go deeper, Glenn.
Yes?
I think that deep down inside, you wanted to go.
No, I wouldn't have done it.
I think that's what it is.
Nah, they're too stuffy. They wouldn't like my sense of humor. They're too stuffy. But apparently they'll like Jonathan Edwards' sense of humor. So, anyway. That's what I saw when I read that news story. Hey, this weekend, too, we have to give some love to our Canadian friends and listeners. The 91st Royal Horse Show is going on this weekend right now at the Royal Agricultural Winter Fair. We had somebody on last year. Remember, we talked about this. And we had somebody on the show from the Royal Horse Show. This is a very big deal in Canada. They have a ton of different classes for a lot of money. This is also the one where they do indoor eventing. Remember, we covered that last year.
Yeah,
they did the indoor
cool.
eventing. Yep. Yeah. Well, they're doing that again this year. And William Fox Pitt and Oliver Townend are coming over and catch riding borrowed horses for the horseware indoor eventing that's going to be going on this weekend. So they have some big names in eventing going to be there. And we'll do some reporting on that, I'm sure, on Monday as we get the results of that.
I wonder if they have a live stream like Alltech does. I bet you they do.
If you just search for Royal Horse Show, 91st Royal Horse Show, you're going to find their website is very fancy and very nice. So it has the entire schedule on there. I would be shocked if they don't have a live stream. And they also have our friend Guy McLean, the Australian Horse Whisperer. Guy is going to be there doing some demonstrations. And, of course, apparently a big deal up there is Jack Russell Terrier races, which are always fun to watch. And that's a big thing at this particular show. So they have a ton of different jumping classes and lots of other things going on at the 91st Royal Agricultural Winter Fair, now going on in Canada. So,
royalfair.org. Oh, fatal error. Royalfair.org doesn't work. Okay.
Okay. That's not it. That's not the one. Well, while you're looking for that, something else in Canada that's kind of sad is their racing program right now. I know you've been following that, Jennifer. We want to give a little bit of a shout-out to the people at Second Start Thoroughbreds who came to the rescue of a bunch of racehorses who were put out of work when a track closed. Fort Erie Racetrack in Ontario closed just here recently. Over 250 horses were there at the time, and a lot of racetracks are closing in Canada. They're just not getting the support up there. They don't have the gambling, and the government isn't supporting them as much as they used to. So, unfortunately, 200 people are also out of work, but good people at Second Start Thoroughbreds came to the rescue, and in 2013, they placed 135 horses so far. And
wow.
Actually, since they began 3 years ago, they placed over 400 horses. They said they're very sad about the people, too, because they become good friends with the people when they deal with horse rescue at the tracks. And there's a lot of good people going to be losing their livelihoods as well. Of course, some of the horses will be moved to other tracks, but some of them, you know, are put out for retirement and hopefully don't end up getting sent out to the butcher shop, which is in Canada a lot shorter trip. So That's why I wanted to give a shout-out to the Second Start Thoroughbred people who are really doing a good job at trying to get all the horses placed.
Good luck.
Let's see what else. I did a review of Kickstarter. We like to do that on occasion. I like to take a look at it about once a week, see what's up in the horse world in Kickstarter. Well, there's not much. There's only about four items up on Kickstarter that involve horses and Indiegogo, which is the other crowdsourcing website that I took a look at. The first one that I thought was interesting
Ferrari?
Yeah, it's called the Four Horses of Ferrari. And remember Ferrari on their you know, they have the horse on their cars. You know, the little, what's that called? The hood ornament is a horse.
Yeah.
Well, there's a guy that is an artist that is his quest. He makes art out of different unique things. And I took a look at his website, and some of the art he's made is really, really cool. What he is doing is 100% of the money raised will go towards Ferrari car parts, studio expenses, welding supplies, stainless steel, and Ferrari paints, automotive supplies, blah, blah, blah. And what he is doing, he's making four life-size original horses at a height of 10 to 12 feet that resemble the Ferrari hood ornament, but they're going to be made entirely out of Ferrari car parts. So there are obviously a sculpture projects to do that. It's definitely unique and different. I've seen some of his other sculptures are really, really cool. So this is something that it has 17 backers so far to the tune of $6,000. He's trying to reach $58,000. Apparently, Ferrari car parts aren't cheap, even the dead ones. And he has 13 days to go in his quest. I don't think he's going to make it. It's going to be really tough.
That one's not looking good. No.
Yeah, he's out of Colorado, and I wish him the best of luck, but it's kind of not looking good right now for him to raise all this money. He's not too far along on that one. The next one has further to go. It's a Kickstarter project called Bid and Bet. And what this is, it's basically a Monopoly-type game that involves horse racing. So they basically changed all of the little, you know, spaces. It looks like a Monopoly game. They have the cards. They have all that stuff that Monopoly has. But everything involves horse racing. And what this guy did is in 1969, while he was at college, he created this game called Bid and Bet, and he never put the game on the market. He had 5,000 made and sold them to discount wholesaler in 1970 when his backer passed away. So basically he had 5,000 made, he couldn't sell them, and he sold them a couple of years later, spent all this money. So he thought, well, I want to dig this out of the graveyard and remake the game and have it produced and, you know, make it into an official board game. Well, he needs $100,000 to go into printing these out and, you know, mass producing them. So far, he's not doing so well. He's 64 hours to go, so only a couple days to go, and he has four backers to the tune of $67. So... I'm thinking that the Bid and Bet is going to go by the wayside once again.
You know what he needs to do? He needs to go on Shark Tank. That's where he'll get some money.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking Shark Tank's going to laugh him out, too. I'm thinking he's not going to have so much luck at Shark Tank. Yeah, so not doing so well, Michael. My advice would be let this one go. You've already blown a lot of money on it over the last 50 years. It's probably time to move on. So, my mind. Then I did notice a trend, too, over on Indiegogo, and I knew this was going to happen. And that is that every rescue out there was going to think that they could crowdsource and fund money just to run their operations. And that's kind of what's happening on Indiegogo. And I think one of the reasons that they're doing it on Indiegogo is unlike Kickstarter, you have to raise all the money or you get none for your project.
Right.
Over at Indiegogo, you can do what's called flexible funding, and you can raise part of it and keep it. So anything you raise, you can keep. Well, there was one called Helping Valiant, which is a starved former racehorse, and they have this project to help Valiant. And they've actually raised $3,500 to help this starved racehorse. And they had a goal of $5,000. So this one looks like it's doing very well, and they're going to be able to buy some hay and some meats. But I got to tell you, there were about 50 other rescues out there that were just generally trying to raise money for the rescues, and they weren't doing well. They had zero or a couple dollars in the bank, that kind of thing. What they forget is you still got to market this, and somebody still has to find out about it.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with people who are going to give money, the vast majority of them, are going to vet you out in some way, shape, or form. They're going to find out who you are and see if you're legit, yada, yada, yada. And if you don't have that information readily available to a potential donor, they're not going to give you their 10 bucks. They want to make sure you're legit before they just throw some money at you. And well, the ones that are doing better are the ones that have that.
In some way, you have to be unique. You have to make yourself unique. And you can't just, you know, do it without any uniqueness at all. I'm another rescue and I need money. Well, that's true of all of them. I'm not, you know, we rescue horses too. So, I understand that mentality of somebody should help me, you know. But you've got to make yourself unique so people want to help you. And that's my piece of advice to the rescues out there. They're not doing well over on Indiegogo. However, there was one that I wanted to bring up, and this one was Draft Horse Power at Robinette Farms. Now, Robinette Farms is out in Nebraska, and it is a small-scale, family-owned, organic natural farm. Well, they were using tractors to do their farming. It's a fairly large operation. They sell at the local farmer's market, as well as they have a co-op grocery. So it's one of those co-ops where you buy in and you can get bags of produce. You go out and you get bags of produce once a week, like we've seen all over the country at different places.
That's very popular in the Northeast,
Yep, and they raise produce for a wide variety of vegetables, and also they don't use artificial chemicals, and they raise lamb and pork and pasture-fed animals that way, and, of course, hens and that kind of thing. Well, one of the things they wanted to do was eliminate the motorized equipment that they use. So this project was to get a couple of draft horses and the equipment to do all of their farming using the draft horses, to go back to the Amish method. And I'm happy to say it looks like they're going to be able to do that. They have 30 days left. They've already raised over $17,000 of their $22,000 goal. And part of that was to fix the barn for the horses and to get the different pieces of equipment that they're going to need to put behind the horses to do the plowing and all of that. And they're doing very well.
It looks like they've really done their homework. You know?
Yeah, they did. I mean, it's very detailed, this proposal. But it just goes to show you, too, that they had a following to begin with, and a lot of people must believe in them and supported them locally to make this happen. So for good for them, good for the people at Robinette Farms. Looks like they're going to make their way with what they've done at Indiegogo. So that's my report. That's my crowdfund sourcing project report for the week of what's going on in the horse world anyway. Let's take a break for our song of the day, and this is where I'm going to piss Jamie off if she finds out about it, which hopefully the listeners won't tell, because, you know, Halloween was yesterday. It's been about 10 months since we've gotten to hear one of Jennifer and I's favorite songs that came out last year at the holidays, and that was Happy Ye Holidays by Templeton Thompson. And I know I said I wouldn't play it for Jamie's sake until after Thanksgiving, but she's not here, and Jennifer and I want to hear it. So for all you people who want to hear it too, here you go. Happy Holidays.
That you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Well, the snow was softly falling on the pasture, and there's a holly wreath hanging on the barn. Jingle bells are jingling, lights are all a twinkling, Christmas time is coming to the farm. Yeah, I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, and hoping that you're warm and home safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace.
peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Too big for dreaming. Ain't nothing like the feeling when all the ones you love are gathered near. So I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays.
Templeton Thompson with Happy Ye Holidays. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Coach Jen, and we're going to be getting to really bad ads in just a second. But today's show is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Well, and also by Road to the Horse. Don't miss Road to the Horse International 2014 at the Kentucky Horse Park at that very place we just heard from Ariel from this morning. March 14th to the 16th for the World Championship of Colt Starting. Watch Dan Steers from Australia, Antoine Klo from Switzerland, Jonathan Field from Canada, and the first ever Road to the Horse wildcard competitor face off to see who will walk away with the title of world champion. Watch, learn, and be inspired to reach a higher level of horsemanship at Road to the Horse. Plus, enjoy our largest shopping experience yet. Find out more at roadtothehorse.com, roadtothehorse.com. We will be there. We have a booth there, actually, at Road to the Horse in the concourse level. And Jennifer and I are going to get to watch it for the first time. So we're very excited about meeting some of our listeners there as well. Maybe we'll have a little meetup one night in Lexington. That'll be a lot of fun. But now it is time for this.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for the Stud Muffin Really Bad Ads. And, of course, this is brought to you by Stud Muffin's Horse Treats that are 100% handmade. They are craft. They are, I can never read this the way it's written, Jennifer. They craft each batch.
She makes them by hand. Just say that.
I know. They
make
them by hand. That's right. She gets in her kitchen, and she gets all this these good ingredients like wheat and oats and barley and corn and flaxseed and other wholesome ingredients. And she has this big, you can picture it, it's like a big witch's pot on the stove, you know, one of the black ones. And she has this big stick, and she takes this big stick and she brews it all up and she stirs it all up, and then she hand crafts them. And you can see her smashing them down one at a time into little circular hockey puck shapes. And then she puts them into bags and she ships them out all over the world for your horse's enjoyment. That is what has been happening since 1997. And, you know, I really don't think it's too far off of that, because the one day I called her, she said, I can't talk right now. I'm in the kitchen cooking. So, and she was making stud muffins.
She's making stud muffins. Yeah.
Yep. So I think she really does do that. And the horses really do love these things. They go crazy for them. They're really nice, too, because they're soft enough that you can give pills in them and other medicines. And she always does special Christmas items that you'll find on display in your tack shops or feed stores soon. So look out for the special Christmas items and the special, usually stocking stuffers and things like that. Last year she had a music box. So I'm not sure what they're going to do this year. I haven't heard. So as soon as we hear, we'll let you know. So look for the special Christmas items as well. Stud muffins. You can just search them on Google or look for them at your local tack shop or feed store. Well, now to the more important thing is what are the prizes for the submitters of the winners of today's Really Bad Ad?
Today's prize table includes a Dr. Rose's Remedies gift pack. Gift pack from Dr. Rose's Remedies, Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatments, and salve.
It's Friday.
100% all natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, and anti-zombie. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients, and they are safe and effective treatments for cuts, scratches, and abrasions on your horse, and they're great for flea dermatitis on your cat. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. Also, on the other side of the table from horsegroomingsolutions.com, a grooming tote filled with products valued at over $100. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than Horse Grooming Solutions brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack and feed suppliers, or you can go online to horsegroomingsolutions.com. They have shopping carts right there.
Very good. Well, thank you, Jennifer. And, of course, Really Bad Ads is the time of week when PR listeners submit bad Craigslist ads, and then we take a look at them and make a little fun of them because you'll see. They're just bad. Yeah, because we can, and they're bad. And, of course, this is the most popular segment that we do on any of our shows here at the Horse Radio Network. I'm going to lead the way today with a Shetland pony. This was sent in by Andrea, and it was a Shetland pony named Buckshot, $100 in Bluntsville, Alabama. This little mare is tamed, !! Cute for little kids to ride or maybe pull some objects with, !! Please call and ask for Marvin. Cash only. Yep, that's it. This little mare is tamed. It's tamed, and it could pull. You could ride it, or you could pull some objects with it. Now, what you're going to pull with it, I guess it's not a cart. It must be something else.
Objects.
Yeah.
Interesting choice of words.
Just think of the name. Like, oh, those wheel things.
Object.
Just pull some objects around.
Like,
pull the house down. Yeah.
Broken lawn chairs, cinder block, just objects.
It's cute.
Oh, gosh. It's cute.
$100. What the heck?
And it's got a great name, Buckshot. This one is from Cal Chasers, Mini Jack Donkey, $300 in Dolan Springs. Mini Jack Donkey, gray color, 5 years old, stands 32 inches at the withers. His name is Corn, and he can be a handful. Was raised around horses and doesn't realize he's a little guy. He won't pull a cart, he doesn't like dogs, and good luck getting him in a trailer. But honestly, he can be very friendly and affectionate. Please call if you can give him a home. Asking $300, but that's negotiable.
I love this one. He will not pull small objects.
No, he will not.
Or a cart. And he doesn't like your dog. And good luck getting him in the trail. How are you supposed to get him home is my question.
He can be affectionate. Maybe you can just hug him in.
I don't know. Maybe I would highly advise some ACE or some more serious drugs when you go to pick up this little mini Jack Donkey, because my guess is you're going to need it. You really are going to need it. And then why would you buy it in the first place? My other question.
I don't know.
Yeah. His name is Corn, by the way. I thought that was funny.
Corn with a K.
And he can
Corn
be a handful. Mini Jack Donkey. All right, Kathleen sent the following one in. Horses in Litchfield. I have two male horses, both fixed. Not sure what they are. My husband knows more about that due to the fact that he got them for me. Apparently he forgot to tell her after he bought them for her. Here's some horses. Yeah. You're going to love this. One is a painter, and one is brown. Yes, one is a painter. You know, we could use a painter right now. Some of the rooms in this house need done, and we're going to have to do it. So we could just get her horse, apparently.
Yeah.
He's a painter.
He works with that lady who makes the paintings and sells them by Famous Racehorses. He's a painter.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're not done yet. They get fed and watered twice a day. Well, we're glad to hear that. That's really nice to hear. Started to train them to be rogue. They are able for a short while, but then they want. Yeah, I'll read that sentence again. They are able for a short while, but then they want. I really don't know what to say. Hoping to sell them both. I believe one is 4 and the other is 6, well-trained around kids and lots of dogs, but don't kick and don't really bite. The painter will nip to let you know not what to do, but don't really bite you. Oh, so they nip but don't bite. The painter apparently nips, so keep that in mind. Walk on a leash with no problems. Leash. The brown one will let you braid his hair and really loves being brushed. They gave them a few baths. They don't seem to like it. And the one that likes sponges, the other don't. The one who don't like sponges, the one who don't like sponges likes getting sprayed. Cannot haul due to not have no horse trailer. Boy, this is a tough one. They are used to being small area, but would love a bigger place. Whew. Okay, let's start with the fact that these people should not own horses.
Oh my! They're trying to remedy that.
They don't know a darn thing about horses. The horses are used on a leash. The other sports and the other sticks and well trained around kids and lots of dogs, but they don't kick and don't really bite except for the one that nips you, which isn't really biting. That's not really biting, by the way, nipping. Unless of course he gets you, then it's biting.
But they get fed twice a day.
This is a bad ad. This is really, really bad ad. And these are really, really people who should not own horses at all.
Or I'm children, perhaps. I'm not sure. Yeah,
we don't know. And there's no price, so apparently they're free. Go get them today.
There you go.
And if you do, could you bring the painter over? We have a couple rooms that need done.
Yeah. Next one's from Lorraine. Purebred Tennessee Barn Cats, $250 in Stewart. Guaranteed 100% organic barn pest removal. Simply place in a barn or outbuilding and provide food and water. Mice, rats, snakes are all organically removed. No cleanup required. No fuss, no muss. Registration papers available upon request.
That's a clever ad to get rid of some old crappy barn cats. They're purebred Tennessee barn cats.
You know what would kick this up to a whole new level, and he could probably get $275 a piece for them? If he created some designer breed name for purebred Tennessee barn cat.
I'm looking to see if it is actually a breed. I really am looking to see if it's actually a breed. Nope. Not that I can see. Pretty much
it will be by next
that.
Month.
I cannot believe that they're trying to charge money for these cats. $250 worth of money for these barn cats that people give away because they have a dozen every year.
He doesn't tell you how many cats.
No, he doesn't.
Just cats
and how do you get? What does it say on the registration papers for the purebred Tennessee barn cats?
Not sure.
Yeah, exactly. It says 100% guaranteed organic pest removal device.
Yeah. We'll have to request the papers and see. Yeah.
Yes, we'll have to do that. Very interesting. That was funny. Next one is Andrea sent the following one in. Trade horse trailer for car, $3,000. Let me tell you, you could fit 12 cars in this horse trailer. This is an aircraft carrier. This thing, it says it's 38 feet long, and I don't think they counted the tongue. This has got to be over 40 feet long because this is longer than some of the 38-foot ones we used to haul.
It's 60 feet, I'm sure. Sorry, it's just crazy.
It is crazy long.
I'm going to put
that picture up. This is just bizarre. Jennifer's going to post this whole ad. It's in 1983, by the way. It's seen better days. It's a Mercury steel. Oh, my God, it must weigh 18,000, 20,000 pounds. 6-horse trailer straight load. 38 foot long, has triaxles with brakes and all axles. Good thing, because the other way you're stopping this thing. My F-250 with a 330 engine pulls it. Yeah, okay, it may pull it, but not up a hill. Asking $3,000, looking to trade for a car, located in Roma, Georgia, call or text. This thing is a monster, and it's made out of steel. Holy smokes.
Wow, yeah.
This is a big, big horse trailer. People, this is a silver horse trailer that gooseneck, you know, it has the tires. I got to give it that. It is, of course, in the field that's totally overgrown, like all the other horse trailers. It was obviously used, more than likely used for harness racers because of the rack they have on the top. That's a harness racing rack. But
if you look at this thing from above, there are the little arrows, and there's a big X on the top where you can land your helicopter.
Yeah, you're gonna need a Mack truck. No F-250 is pulling this thing up a hill. Not with six horses in it. No way. It's
maybe a
monster. That has to be the largest horse trailer we've had yet. So thank you, Andrea, for that, because it is a monster. I wonder if Jamie's new one is about that big, do you think?
I'm sure it is, yeah. But prettier. Yeah. I'm sure it's prettier.
Well, Lindsay sent the next one in, Jennifer, and it's pretty simple.
This is pretty straightforward. Horse. Trade self-defense hand weapon for a good broke mare horse. Text me for more details if you have what I'm looking for. Thanks.
A self-defense hand weapon. Is that like a sword or a knife or a gun?
I just want to wash my mouth out with soap after I read that one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's something going
there's
on
something
there.
There's something wrong there.
Yeah, and I really wouldn't trade his knife or sword for a good broke mare horse.
Yeah.
No, there's definitely something wrong there.
Yeah.
That's a problematic one. That's one to be concerned about.
Lindsay, I hope you did not respond to that. Let us know that you're okay, please.
All right, next
another
one.
From Kat, whose last name we do not pronounce on this show. Mini horse and pony for sale or trade in Marquand, Missouri. I'm looking to sell my miniature horse stud and female POA pony. The stud is 4 years old, and the mare, not sure how old. But she is broke to lead and more than likely ride, but I'm not sure. The stud is not broken, I'm sure. I'm looking to sell them or possibly trade for a full-size horse, mule, or large donkey to ride. Must be broke, I'm sure.
The stud is not broken, I'm sure. So don't even ask, it's not broken. The mare, you know, she might be broke.
Sure.
Who knows?
We have a lot
not
of
so
unsure
sure
horse sellers this week. Unsure horse.
Yeah,
sellers.
This week seems to be the unsure week.
Yeah.
Well, I got a good one for you. Next one, Susan Nelson sent in Millington, and she's from Tennessee, so I think it must be somewhere down that way. Jersey cow in milk, $1,500. It's going to be a messy situation if you have to transport it in milk. I just picture this big Jersey cow in a big tub of milk, and you have to take the whole thing. I don't know. Two-year-old Jersey cow in milk. All four quarters are sound. That's good. She's trained to be hand-milked. She is bred back to a small Jersey bull, due next spring, $1,500. Also available is a calf, which comes very handy on the days when you can't milk, for $350. She has never fed grain, only given kelp and vegetables and fruit. She's a vegetarian cow.
Oh, my goodness. I think all cows are vegetarian.
Yeah,
but
apparently this is a great – maybe she's – what's that disease that you get when you can't have grain? Celiac disease or whatever?
That's right. She's
celiac
gluten-free.
Cow.
She's a gluten-free.
Like
you
she's
need to get this one,
cow.
Bread.
I know.
Buy
you
this.
Should get this one. I could bond with this one. Jersey cow. Aren't the Jersey ones the little brown ones, too? They're not very big.
The little brown ones with the pretty eyes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Sure, our landlords would love that. We could get our milk every day. And, of course, she just had this calf, which is why they're selling the calf separately. But I love that, which comes in very handy on days when you can't milk. Because the calf will take care of it. Now, what they're not telling you is on the days you can't milk, or in the days you can milk, that you actually want the milk, you have to feed the calf the same milk. So It's kind of
shared.
It's shared. Only given kelp and the best of fruits and vegetables. I wish I ate that good.
I'll get you some kelp next time I'm at the store. Next one for me. Rachel sent this one in. Free horse U-Haul in big letters in Rosebud County, Montana. One mare. You catch and she's free. One stallion. You catch $60. One mare. I catch $100. Two geese, $40. Apparently nobody catches them. Now,
nobody
I'm confused.
Catches them.
Nobody catches them. One mare you catch and she's
they
free.
Just
so
fly
I get
into
that.
The
I catch the mare and she's free, I take her home. One stallion, you catch $60. Does that mean if I catch the stallion, they give me $60?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I didn't look at it that way. Yeah.
Now, one mare I catch $100. Does that mean when they catch the mare, I have to give them $100? Now, wait a minute.
You know,
and
we have never had we've never had an ad that rated the catchability of the horses by the price.
Yeah.
This is a first. That has never happened before, Rachel.
They're going to turn it into a board game.
Oh, here's a good one. This is in Waco, Texas, I'm sure. Stacey Ann sent this one in. Registered Chihuahua puppy for trade for old single or double horse trailer in Waco, Texas. I have a registered tricolor Chihuahua puppy for trade. He will be about 3 to 5 pounds. He's vaccinated and worms and comes with a puppy pack. God, I can't talk today. Looking for a small single or double horse trailer. Doesn't have to be pretty, just usable. We have lots of those for you here on Really Bad Ads. We could fix this woman up and get a Chihuahua.
I'm surprised Chihuahuas are legal in Texas.
Oh, I mean,
everything's
true.
Bigger in Texas, right?
I know. What would you do with a 3-pound Chihuahua?
Yeah.
In Texas.
Boy.
Yeah.
You're opening yourself up
for
rituals, what you're doing.
Yeah. That's the size of steaks they eat down there, 3 to 5 pounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's take a look and see who won today. We have to. I put my first vote in. Kathleen O'Grady wins the Horse Grooming Solutions because, let me tell you, that was one of the best worst ads ever. Was the one that has the painter, and the one
the
is
painter.
Brown. She waters mm-hmm. him twice a day. And they don't really bite except for when they bite. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those things. Takes them out on a leash with no problems. So I got to give Kathleen O'Grady, you win the Horse Grooming Solutions. And then we have, what was the other one there, Jennifer?
Dr. Rose's Remedies.
Dr. Rose's Remedies.
Itch, anti-zombie. Yep. I have a favorite. I'm sorry. The Jersey cow in milk. The visual you had on that one was perfect.
All right. Susan Nelson gets the Dr. Roses. Congratulations to both of you. We really appreciate everybody who sent in their ads to Really Bad Ads this week. You can send your ads in for next week's show to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put Really Bad Ads in the subject line, and very importantly, copy the entire ad and put it in the email. Do not send a link, because most of the time the links are dead by the time we get to them.
Right.
So that's
important, because there were a couple really good potentials this week that the ads had been deleted by the time they sent them in, because usually they'll copy the title of the ad and send me a link. And the titles were just amazing off the top. Great. And I couldn't get the rest of the ad. So make sure you copy and paste the entire ad into your email. Don't give me a screenshot. Don't want that. Give me a copy and paste.
Right. Just copy and paste the whole thing, pictures and all, in there, because you never know when the pictures help out the ad, too. Well, that was a lot of fun. We appreciate our sponsors for being part of that, and also to Stud Muffins. Don't forget, you want to look for Stud Muffins at your local tack shop. Pick up a bag and tell the cashier you heard about them on Horses in the Morning. We had a lot of shows come out this week, and I wanted to do a quick rundown. Blaze came out, Blaze Kids Radio. They spent some time with the people from Gentle Carousel Miniature Therapy Horses. They also talk about the sense of touch in a horse, and had another great story by Carly, who has to be one of the best. She's like, 15 years old? And she's a terrific storyteller and a story reader. So If you haven't checked out Blaze Kids Radio yet, take a look at that.
For the young and the young at heart. That's what Blaze Kids Radio is. Yep.
Yeah, actually, it's adults fun. Are really enjoying that show. We're getting a lot of good comments from adults on it. Chasing a Fox, if you're into fox hunting, check that show out this week. Helena and Sissy B, or Sissy, did that show. The Driving Radio Show, we had a best of, and it was one of my favorite episodes we ever did because Wendy's off on vacation, is we did a classic revisit of the Music of Winter episode that we did last year with Barry Dickinson, who is an authority on and owns about 1,000 pairs of carriage bells. You know, the pretty strings of bells you see on carriages and also on sleigh bells. Well, he actually went through them. They all had the different bells and the different sizes and everything had a different place, especially back in the 1800s. You would use different bells on different occasions. And he went through the history of these bells and played them for us on the air so we could hear the differences. So that was one of my favorite episodes. It really was cool. So we replayed that, the Eventing Radio Show with Nate and Joe. I was out this week as well.
I love the Nate and Joe show.
Yes, they're a lot of fun. If you haven't listened to Nate and Joe do an Eventing
Radio
Show yet.
You know what the Nate and Joe
yet,
show is, Glenn? You know what it is?
What
it's,
is it?
It's
what
Saturday
is it?
Night Live for horse people. You just never know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen on the Nate and Joe Eventing Show. They do it once a month, and they're a lot of fun. Eventers right here out of Ocala, actually.
Yep.
And then let's see what else we had come out this week.
Horsemanship Radio.
Yep. What was that? Horsemanship Radio came out this week. That's correct. And Horsemanship Radio had a chance to speak with Charlotte Berdahl, the dressage Olympian, who uses some of Monty's methods and talked about how she uses natural horsemanship to train her Olympic horses. And also film producer and horseman Joe Camp was on the show. And you'll remember Joe because he produced and wrote and directed all of the Benji movies from back in the 70s and 80s. Yes, he was the guy who did all that. And those movies were hugely popular. I think it's like 300 million that were sold. And what I didn't realize was that they were independent films. He had to beg, steal, and borrow to get the first one done. And then they become these huge hits. And they were all, seven of them were done as independent films.
I didn't know there were seven of them either.
Yeah, and he still has some Benji dogs now. Obviously, the original ones have passed away. But Benji was a mutt, if you remember right, and he adopts the same kind of mutts that look like Benji to this day. So that's been his mission through the years. And he also has horses, and that's what he talked about there in the show as well.
Cool.
So all of those shows are now out on the Horse Radio Network on our app or at horseradionetwork.com. Check them out over the weekend as you have time. In the meantime, Jennifer and I are going to hang it up here for the day. We'll be back here live on Monday with another new episode of Horses in the Morning. Jamie will be back, and we'll find out how her weekend went. So everybody have a terrific weekend. Thank you, Jennifer, for filling in and for booking guests this week. Really appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
And don't forget your show. Give a quick plug.
Got to check into Horse Tip Daily. We have half a dozen or so more episodes coming out in the next 3 to 5 days. Short and sweet for those of you with a short attention span. They're great to listen to while you ride your horse.
All different kinds of tips on riding and anything to do of anything in the horse world by experts from all over the horse world. Check it out, Horse Tip Daily. Thank you, everybody. Have a terrific weekend. Be safe.
Try putting your horse in milk. It makes his skin nice.
Oh,
he might nip you.